Men, let's be honest, our function is to protect women and children.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the way I see it. And that if...
You're getting into some pretty toxic masculinity mission, talk here.
Things get out of whack quick.
Huh.
Now, that doesn't mean we need to go attack people and have these endless wars, because I'm very much against them. But at the same time...
Raytheon's for them.
You know, the men and women who are mainly men, and I'm just going to say it, the men who are out there with a rifle holding a line are a different breed than the rest of America, in my opinion. And that they see their role as a protector, and that this is born in the male psyche, that I don't know, you know, we all know that when we go into a room, we're looking at guys and saying, I get him, he's going to be a problem. That's immediately what we do. And, you know, I don't know if that's called situational awareness, but, you know, if a guy gets in your face, you're thinking, okay, can I take him or not? That, you know, or if you're just talking to a fella, I wonder if I could take him. That's a male thing. And females, they can't even believe we do that. They go, what? You know, it shocks them. Every time, I can take him. He can say what he wants. But he's not going to get out of line. You know, and I think that's males. We think that way every time we walk into a room or talk to another person. And I think we think that way because, you know, that's what we're for.
Mm-hmm. You know, you said something along the lines that the men in the military, I think particularly the infantry, they see themselves as protectors. I would go watch the TV series Generation Kill to see how young men in the military currently think of themselves. I mean, don't get me wrong, the military is very diverse, and the infantry is very diverse in what young men think, but you have a TV series that pretty much every infantryman that I've watched that TV series with says that is the most accurate description of the infantry that you can get these days. And
okay,
yeah, and so
I haven't watched that. I will.
What it is a bunch of 18 to 22 year olds who are armed with weaponry and are charged to go fight a war. And so these guys are young men who are coming up in an age where we really are privileged in what we have, and they have time to listen to rap and things like that. They have like all these nice amenities, but still they wanted something more, and they wanted to go on an adventure to go wage war. And it's kind of like a fraternity with weapons, even though I don't like comparing the military to fraternities because it's so much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a fraternity with weapons. Yeah, like that's sort of the most accurate way I can say it. Mm-hmm. And so, as far as protectors or seeing ourselves as patriotic, I wouldn't say that was the case for the most part. It was more we're looking for an adventure.
See, I had a different experience.
So it's more about the adventure than it is about anything else.
Yeah. So Rob says he has a different experience. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I mean, part of that is because I fell into a group who'd already been deployed for 4 months by the time I got there.
Mm-hmm.
So they are already just battle weary and wore out. I mean, they were in some extreme situations, so they're just wore out already. So I think that may be part of why my experience was different, is maybe the first few months they were like that. But for the most part, these guys just saw them as, let's just do this job and go home. But also throwing themselves, I mean, I witnessed guys just throw themselves in front of women and children as protectors, as made themselves human shields.
Well, no, so there's no doubt about it. Whenever the time comes, all right, the best example that I can give is, what's his name? He threw himself on a grenade in front of his friends.
Oh, began with a D.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's a guy from my battalion. His name was Ross McGinnis.
Anyway, I want to go back to this example, though. This specific example, because this is what I'm going to get at. This kid, Jason. Jason
Began with the last name began with a D,
like Durham or Duncan, something or like something that. Like that. Anyway, Medal of Honor winner post-mortem. You know how you have Garrison Marines and then Field Marines? Mm-hmm. He was known as a Field Marine, okay? Garrison Marine, he was known as...
As a Hellraiser.
As a Hellraiser, a turd, if you will. What do you call
it? The best soldiers that I ever served with were field soldiers. They were combat soldiers.
Right. So anyway, I think that if you were to give a description, if he were asked in an interview to give a description of himself, he would say a badass MF-er. You know, that would be it. Not a protector, not something like that. But whenever the time came, his instincts kicked in and he jumped on a grenade and he saved the life of his friends, even though he was a POS to his gunnery sergeant, to his first sergeant, things like that. But post-mortem, they're talking about him like he's
those guys a protector are the break, those men. Guys are the break glass in case of war type guys.
Right, yes. And so, anyway... The point that I'm making here is that you have Hellraisers who would never describe themselves as protectors or see themselves as patriotic, but would act in that manner. They would, because we definitely saw ourselves as, if we're in a situation where there's women and children, we're definitely going to save them, but we didn't see ourselves as protector of women and children. You would protect those women and children that you, in a moment before, were absolutely making fun of, that you were throwing... bottles of piss to the kids.
One of those. At that point, there's no imminent threat to them.
Yeah.
But then your instincts as a protector kick in.
Right.
And I think that's what Glenn's getting at is.
Yeah.
Your instincts when you're born with as a protector.
Mm-hmm.
You may act a fool, but when it hits the fan, your instincts kick in as protectors.
It's not like these Marines that I'm talking about who, I guess are. Take it on more of a gangster, persona or something like that. They're not going to run away whenever shit hits the fan and the women and children are left there just to get gunned down. That's not ever going to happen.
No.
So that's not what I'm saying at all. But I also don't see these guys as chest out, proud, I'm doing this for America men. I don't see that as that at all. They see themselves as a warrior who's been called to adventure, and whenever the time comes, they will jump in front of a bullet for women and children, but they're not going to see themselves as that protector on a wall that portray them
not,
as.
But again, it all just comes down to the instincts, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily how they see themselves, but they're bred with those instincts.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does take a special... person to not just join the military but join the infantry. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying special like, oh my goodness, they're a hero. There's a certain mindset to it.
Yeah because while we were over there, we would make these very funny videos. I need to track them down, but it was videos of first our communicating with Afghanis without speaking their language, and it'd be very funny to see them communicate back to us, calling us, saying F you Barack Obama. Everybody was called Barack Obama.
Oh, that's right.
We were
in the Bush administration.
Yeah, we had this, we made a music video of Party in the USA and things like that. And so, just stuff where your kids being kids out there. That's it. That's what we were. We were just being kids out in Afghanistan.
You're a bunch of 18 to 22-year-olds with... some free time on your hands in between patrols and missions. So
exactly.
You're going to act a kid.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's sort of what it's like. And that's what I liked about Generation Kill is they weren't trying to hide behind this idea that we were out there seeing ourselves as, America first and things like that. No, we were definitely just part of a group of kids that
I think there was some of that. It may not have been the overwhelming... drive for everybody, but I think in everybody there was a little bit of that, because otherwise there's a lot of other ways to get your adventure. You could join a gang, you could go do everything else. There had to have been something there, especially if you're wanting to be in the infantry or be a combat MOS regardless. You had to have had some kind of, it may not have been your overwhelming, but you had to have some kind of sense of duty. At least the guys that I was with.
That probably lacked in our vocabulary more than it should have.
I was also, I was also fortunate to serve under Bush for just a short period, mm-hmm. and the military mindset in that period was a little different than under Obama.
What year, maybe, what year did you serve?
I was in 08, so I was at the very end of Bush's presidency.
So 08 to
13.
To 13.
But right. My first tour was under Bush. So I got to experience that, mm-hmm. and there was a little bit more, I'd say, pride.
Maybe. But so the reason why I might push back with that a little bit is Generation Kill was filmed during the time that Bush was in initially. Yeah. Is during a very, what you would say, a patriotic time in this country where we just got done
still
with
9/11.
Off 9/11. Yeah, and yeah. And now we're just starting.
Because that was filmed during the first few months during Iraq, wasn't it?
Yeah, so that was filmed at Generation Kill is based on the initial invasion of Iraq, and what it does is it covers the I forget which battalion this was, but it was Force Recon Marines who were being, in my opinion and in the author's opinion, misused, because Force Recon
is not meant for guarding checkpoints.
They're not meant for guarding checkpoints. They're not meant to be blunt infantry. Mm-hmm. Like they're meant to be sort of more.
And I think that's part of why Generation Kill, those guys were portrayed like that, is they were bored. They weren't being used how they were supposed to be used, and they were bored and just need to stir stuff up.
Yeah, definitely. And again, maybe I would have people who disagree with what the overall feeling was, but like I said, I mean, people would get like the Marine Corps tattoo, but that would be boots who would get it, meaning guys who just got in the Marine Corps. You would be made fun of if you were older and you got a Marine Corps tattoo, or if you got an American flag tattoo or something like that, you'd be called a motard, you know, sort of things like that. Like you'd almost be discouraged from being motivated about doing something that was part of your duty to the Marine Corps, to the United States. You kind of be made fun of for those things, you know, putting stickers on your car and things like that. So there was sort of this underlying discouragement of having that sense of pride of what you're doing.